Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. We're so blessed by your presence today, especially in the weather. Thank you for being a part of worship. A few announcements we'll say as we get started. We'd like to find out who was in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us your contact information, and check the appropriate boxes. This gives us some valuable information about you. And we do ask, once you're done, if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. That would be very helpful for us. We do ask, once it comes back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for helping us out with that. A few announcements we'll make. We are having children's time today, right after the first hymn, so inviting all the kids to come down here and join me. Also, today at 4 o'clock, the family ministry team, which is the Youth Council, Children's Council, Preschool, and the Family Enrichment, we are meeting today at 4 o'clock. We will meet downstairs in the coffee house area in the lower level of the education building. Wednesday night continues this week. Our discipleship classes are starting off September 26th, Power of a Woman's Words. That will continue to happen on September 26th and following. Other classes will be starting soon. We'll be making announcements about that. Also, we're getting very close to finishing up our nursery workers sign up. We only have 11 spots left. That's out of 144 spots. So we appreciate all the people that have made that happen. We know there are a few more out there that could fill in those spots, either 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock service. So thank you for helping us with that. You can contact me, and I'll get you in contact with the people that are in the know. Also, prayer partner sign-ups. We are so close. We have over 100 children, youth, and college students that are in our prayer partner ministry. We have right at 20 that still need an adult. So very close to finishing that off. If those are on the table outside of Smith Hall as you leave the church. So please see that. Their instructions there on the table. Okay. I think that's all the announcements. Anything else? Oh, we have a couple.
Briefly. Starting next Sunday, we will begin the 30-day church challenge. And part of that 30-day church challenge, we will have some emphasis here in the sermons in our Sunday morning worship, but we will also be offering some small group studies. There are a couple Sunday school classes that will be doing it in their Sunday school class. Theophily and Koinonia will be taking it up in a couple weeks, and Master's Blend, all three will be doing it within their Sunday school classes. But we will also offer a group on Sunday night at 5 o'clock, led by Krista. And so we invite you to go ahead, and I was going to tell you to pick up a book this morning, but they did not arrive. They were supposed to be here, and they should be here probably tomorrow, because that's usually the way that works. When they don't get here when they're supposed to, they come the day after they're supposed to. So we have books for that, but we invite you to go ahead and sign up on the table outside of Smith Hall, just to give us kind of an idea of what number to plan for. So that's for 5 o'clock Sunday night for the next five Sundays. In addition to that, on Wednesday, September 26th, we will begin The Power of a Woman's Words. And this is an excellent book. It talks about speech, the impact you have both positively and negatively with your speech. It is an easy book to read. It's got a lot of illustrations. It will only beat you up. Well, it might beat you up a little. You know, anyway, but it does it in a nice way. Anyway, but this is a study for women. I do invite you to join us. There's a sign-up sheet for that as well on that same table outside of Smith Hall. And I look forward to us growing together.
Okay. I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. A few moments ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. We appreciate that information, and we would like to give you a packet about our church. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation. So thank you for being a part of worship today. And on a morning like this, rainy, it's getting a little chilly, it's fall is coming, we have a choice. Is it glass half full or glass half empty? To look at weather like this. And I heard one of our youth say, you know, he likes the rain because it made the corn grow. Now, one of our youth, that he didn't mean it being seriously, he was being funny, but not doing it very well. There is a point, sometimes we don't understand God's blessings come in ways that we don't understand or recognize. In the rain, God shows his providence. In the storms, God shows his protection. This morning, you may be in a storm, or you see a storm cloud coming. Know that the church is God's protection through the love of Jesus Christ to the world. You and I can be that protection for our neighbors, and they can be that for us. God is providing even in the storm. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, on this rainy morning, we know that you are providing for the earth, providing water so that things may grow. Father, we need for you to rain down on us this morning. We need your Spirit to cover us, to grow us, maybe to cleanse us. Father, it is so difficult some days to live in this world. Remind us that you are here. Remind us that your plan and your purpose is moving forward, and that as the body of Christ, we have the blessing to walk with you. Be in this place, we pray. For when we know that you are here, all other trivial things fall away and our lives make sense. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
need you at least 3 feet away from the green part, okay? Right here, right behind this imaginary line, and everybody right behind here. Crisscross applesauce. Don't touch anybody around you. All right, good job. Good listening. I appreciate that. Okay, good morning. Okay, everybody's crisscross applesauce. Everybody's listening. Does anybody know what this is? A golf ball. All right. Does anybody know what this is? It's a weapon. Yes, it is a weapon. Okay, it's a putter. Okay, and what do you use a putter to do? Putt-putt. Yes, putt-putt. Very important sport. Putt-putt. Well, do you like playing putt-putt? Okay. Well, I want to use your favorite, or one of your favorite sports of putt-putt, to teach you something this morning. But I need you paying attention, okay? All right. Tell me, if you had to tell your friends one cool thing about Jesus, what would you say? Avi? Do what? He made us. Okay. What else? What would you tell your friends about Jesus? Died on the cross for our sins. Christian? He knows how many hairs are on our head. You have less than you just had a few weeks ago. He knew all the hairs on your head. Okay. What do you think? God can do anything. You know what? Y'all answer very well. Are there any other ways you would tell your friend things that you would tell him about Jesus? Aaliyah, what would you say? God is awesome. That's exactly right. Now, I want to teach you something. Sometimes, you know, we invite people to church, right? We invite people to church because we have a good time. We want them to learn about Jesus. We want them to meet our teachers and our friends. Sometimes, you know, when we're putt-putting, now if I barely hit this, is it going to ever make the hole? No. Okay. So what if I, like, really hit it? You thought I was going to hit it, didn't I? All right. What if I, like, swung really hard? What's going to happen to it? You make a hole. You make a hole in the window. That's exactly right. It's going to make a dent in Big Raj's forehead. That's what it was going to do. Or it's going to hit the wall and hit me in the head. Okay. You have to hit it just right. Right? I put it in there. I just want you to know, one shot, I hit it in. All right? See, so what happened? Did I have to hit it just right? Here's what I want you to do. If you never tell your friends about Jesus, it's like a ball without a putter. It'll never go to the hole. If you just tell them just a little bit, what's going to happen? It'll never get to the hole. If you're mean to them and tell them all the bad things that they do, it's like hitting a ball out through the window. But if you show them the right amount of love and tell them all the cool stuff about Jesus, it's like hitting it just right and putting it in the hole. You may do it again. Now I'm under pressure. Oh, on the second hole? All right. Now, if I don't hit this in, I owe you Pastor Pals? Oh, okay. Can you cover me? All right, we got Pastor Pals. All right. I missed it. All right. But guess what? This week, everybody's looking this way. This week, you can tell people about Jesus. Everything that you just told me, tell them. Invite them to church. Let them know, let your friends know how much Jesus loves them. Okay? Amen. Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you for the awesome opportunity to share with our friends about Jesus. Help us to know exactly how to do it. The right words to say, the right things to do, and we'll trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats now. Good job, guys. Go back to your seats.
It's good to be able to read God's Word together this morning. It's a little rainy outside, and just encouraging words from God to our hearts just seem to bring light wherever we are. So if you'd like to join me, I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible. Page, let's see, 1624. So, I'm sorry, that's not right. I'm reading from another Bible. 851, thank you. I'm reading from another Bible. Sorry about that. Made it a little bit longer. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Walking away from all the voices that are screaming in my ear. I've been too caught up, I've been so stressed out. All of the noise replaced the whisper that used to be so clear. So I close every door and put my face back on the floor, and I'm in your arms where I belong. There's no other place for me than right where you are. Some things just don't change when I call your name. You never hesitate to wrap me in endless grace when I'm in your arms. I'm letting my fears go, giving you control. For you are the one who holds me closer in my soul's darkest night. Everything I see is so temporary. So help me to run the race before me with eternity in sight. Now I close every door and put my face back on the floor. And I'm in your arms where I belong. There's no other place for me than right don't change when you call my name. You never hesitate to wrap me in endless grace when I'm in your arms. To sit at your feet at your mercy and table, to gaze on your beauty, my Lord. To be in your arms where I belong. than right where you are. Some things just don't change. When I call your name, you never hesitate to wrap me in endless grace. When I'm in your arms, where I belong, there's no other place for me than right where you are. Some things just don't change. When I call your name, you never hesitate to wrap me in endless grace. When I'm in your arms, I'm in your arms.
Beautiful time of worship with Mary's song and with our children's message also. Before we enter into a time of prayer together, just a word that Mary Ruth Wilson has passed away, and her funeral will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and the visitation is 11 at Clements, C-L-E-M-E-N-T-S, Funeral Home in Hillsborough. So visitation is 11 if you'd like to go. And also there will be a graveside service following that. Also, Chancel Brown's sister passed away, Hema Binkley, and arrangements are pending. You might have seen a word about that in the paper, but just keep that family in prayer. Let's remember both of these families in prayer as we remember each other, as we've come to bring our needs and our joys together today as church family. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh God, we've pulled away from the rush of our busy lives to come and to wait before you, knowing that you long to speak to us deep into our souls, that you have so much to tell us if only we'll stop and listen. Oh Lord, we miss out so much when we hesitate or put other things before that special time, so continue to call our names until we make a concerted effort, until we're dedicated to finding daily time just to wait before you, to listen to your voice, that you can give us words of hope and assurance, and words of light, words of comfort, and help in our greatest need. Thank you that you're there waiting for us if we but turn to you. Oh Lord, we come today lifting up those who we know are facing difficult times in our church family, those who've lost loved ones and the grief that encases them, knowing that they will not see this one they love on earth anymore, but remind them of the joy that awaits when they see him or her again in heaven. But please help them through this time. Loss is hard, and death is hard on families, and so just help them as they walk through making arrangements and just doing all the things that must be done. But we do thank you that you've opened the gates of heaven and welcomed in those who've come to you, those who've left this earth, and what a joyous time of reunion we're going to have together. Now, Lord, we come today with personal needs and individual needs, everybody going through different circumstances and bringing their own concerns and problems even to this place. Little do we know what burdens other people bear deep in their hearts, so we bring those to you today. We come asking for a word of refreshment and renewal. We come asking for answers and just asking you to put your arm around us and hold us close and to remind us that we are not alone ever, and we never, ever walk alone because we have you, and there's nothing that can come between us and between you and your great love for us. How wonderful that is to know. And God, we thank you for this church family, for the arms that reach out for each other and the smiles that greet each other. We thank you for the warmth, the joy that we find here, and the sunshine, even on a rainy day. Oh, Lord, use this great body to reach out into the community and help those who are lonely and hurting. and help us to reach out to each other, minister to each other. Now, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide this worship, that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and glorified, and thank you for the way that you've already made your presence known. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for this day. It is easy to look out the window and on this gray and cloudy day filled with rain for us to be filled with gloom, depression, maybe just indifference. But the rain that you provide nourishes our ground, helping plants and trees to grow, to provide us with the air that we need to breathe. It provides us with full lakes and streams that add to supply water to drink. And for these things, we are grateful. We come this day to this place to praise you and to worship you. Today, We, as College Park Baptist Church, are participating in National Back to Church Sunday. There are people here today and across the country that are making steps to be reunited with you and in a community devoted to serving you. I pray that this day that your love is present. Allow your love to calm all anxieties, fears, and concerns in all of us, those who are coming back as well as those who are receiving. As we gather now, we open our hearts, our minds, and spirits to you. Allow us to give the resources that you need for us to give so that your work can be done. Take now these gifts and offerings. Thank you for each blessing that you have already blessed us with this day. And prepare our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to receive each blessing that you have prepared for us that we've yet to receive this day. For it is in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you're doing well this morning. It's good to see you. I see some new faces. We've talked a little bit about the fact that this is National Back to Church Sunday, and there are thousands of churches that are participating in that, and I appreciate your good work this week, and I know that if you're a guest with us this morning, that you're going to be blessed by being here. This is a good group of people. They really are, and I know that you'll enjoy this time this morning. I also want to give you a word of encouragement. We know from studies that have conducted over the last 20 years or so that they've shown that those who attend church regularly generally have lower blood pressure and happier outlooks and better marriages and less divorce and longer lives. So you've got that to look forward to, too. That's a perk. So you couldn't have picked a better place to be than here with God's people today. And I want to tell a story, and some of you may have heard the story before, and certainly I understand that, but this is a story about a thing called the church. The church. I believe that the church is maybe one of the most misunderstood institutions on earth. And I hope that when you walk away today, you'll walk away with a new appreciation for this institution that God loves so much. And a lot of people use the word institution and think of it negatively. But in this particular case, the institution of the church, God put the church in place, and we're going to explore that together. And it'll be a word of encouragement, I hope, to you. If you have a Bible and you want to turn with us to Acts chapter 2, that's where we're going to start today. 772 is the number in the Pew Bible. If you didn't bring yours with you, you could grab a Pew Bible and read along with me. Acts chapter 2 is the story of the very first church, which started in Jerusalem in 33 AD. So we want to listen to what was going on during that time. As you recall, several weeks ago, we had a Pentecost Sunday. We talked about the sending of the Holy Spirit, and that was at the beginning of Acts chapter 2. We're going to pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and read through the end of the chapter to find out what was going on with the church at this point. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's a remarkable passage of Scripture. Napoleon Bonaparte once said that imagination rules the world. And I've tried to kind of guess what he was saying by that, but what I take away from that is that people are more often moved by powerful ideas than by charismatic personalities or legislation or even brute force. History kind of bears that out if you think about it. Throughout the centuries, men and women have expelled extraordinary effort and energy and demonstrated legendary devotion to a vision that they believe in. So think about it in your own life. What is it that you believe in? What vision has been cast that you believe in, that you devote yourself to? If you think back in the history of our country, it's rife with examples of vision-casting leaders who capture the imagination of the American people. I think about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson had this vision of a free, self-ruled democratic society. Think about Abraham Lincoln. He had a vision of ending slavery and reuniting a nation that was divided. We had Franklin Roosevelt, who dreamed of a new prosperous society and laid that out. And we can't forget Martin Luther King Jr., for he, in very explicit terms, laid out that he felt like that there people should be judged based not on their skin color, but on their content of their character. Those are examples of visions that have been cast. And again, I say imagination rules the world. Because 2,000 years ago, a carpenter from Nazareth named Jesus burst on the scene with a vision that changed, literally changed the course of human history. Everywhere he went, Jesus inspired the imaginations of people by painting a picture of this spiritual and relational movement that had never existed before, unlike anything that had ever existed. And his teachings so riveted audiences, as we laughed about several weeks ago, people forgot to eat. When they were around and he was teaching, they literally forgot to eat because he was telling them about a God who loved them personally. They thronged to hear him teach about a reality that he kept calling the kingdom of God. And Jesus explained that this kingdom was kind of like a mustard seed. It began very small. But it grows so big that it shelters birds with its branches. And while what Jesus envisioned was so valuable, he encouraged children to come to it. He encouraged the poor in spirit to seek it. He encouraged the rich to be willing to let go of everything that they owned in order to enter into it. The good news of the kingdom must be proclaimed, he would say, and people would travel for miles around just to hear him speak about this kingdom, to catch a glimpse of the vision. And for 3 years, Jesus Christ proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and then to the shock and the dismay of his followers, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was put to death. And these disciples, they huddled in fear and depression because they had envisioned Jesus delivering Israel, all of Israel, from the rule of Roman oppression. And somehow they had in mind that he was going to establish a kingdom here on this earth and he was going to reside and preside over that kingdom. And now with his death, all hope seemed to be lost. They thought the kingdom vision is lost. The kingdom vision is dead. But we know 3 days later, Jesus arose in power announcing that the kingdom dream was just as alive as he was. He opened their minds to see that the kingdom that he had been teaching about for 3 years was not a political kingdom, but it was something much greater than that. It was a spiritual kingdom, the rule of God in each person's heart. 40 days later, as we've already alluded to, at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, it tells about the sending of the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit on his disciples to answer what Jesus had promised in Acts 1:8, but to empower these people, to empower these new believers, these disciples, to go and to preach and to teach and to perform miracles and bring others to Christ. And so we found that the kingdom had been birthed in a new way. It was powerful. It was compelling. People everywhere were drawn to it, and they called this new movement the church. The church. And true to Jesus' vision, the church was like nothing that anyone had ever experienced before. And in that very first church, the people devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to celebrating the Lord's Supper, to praying for one another. The atmosphere of welcome and excitement was so electric that Scripture tells us there was this awe. It was a sense of awe and wonder that was with them every time they met. And how often did they meet? Every day. The Bible records that miracles took place in that church. One of the miracles, and it truly was a miracle, trust me, they had so much love for one another that they willingly sold their possessions and goods just so that everyone's needs were met. If you don't think that's a miracle. This new thing called the church was so compelling that Scripture says the people met in the church every day, sometimes in the temple for public worship, sometimes in home for more intimate friendships, but they met every day. And the best part of the story is that the picture that Jesus had been painting for 3 years rang true. Members of the church, they ate together. They were glad and they were sincere. They praised God for letting them be a part of this incredible movement, and they enjoyed the favor of the whole city. That church was so irresistible, that church was so contagious, Scripture tells us that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They became part of God's family and part of this vision that Jesus had preached about, that he'd prayed about, and that he died for on Good Friday. The church is coming into being, and friends, what we read about in Acts 2 is how God envisions his church, not just in Jerusalem, not just in 33 AD, not even just in the first century, his church all over the world, here in Winston-Salem, 1701 Polo Road, that's how he wants us to be. So how do we get there? I would argue we're on our way, but how do we get there? I'm glad you asked. That church pursued five purposes that, when implemented, can help College Park. And when I say College Park Baptist Church, I gave you a street address. That's scriptural. That's really not right, because the church is the people, right? We understand that. The church is the people, the building, the physical plant. That's just where we kind of get together. But we get together so that we can meet and praise the Lord and worship and equip and encourage one another to go out. So how do we become, how do we continue in our journey to become more like the church that's described here in Acts chapter 2? They have five purposes. If you look through these verses, I came up with five purposes that the church had that, when implemented, could really help us. And I'm going to kind of hit these just kind of in outline form today. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks looking at them in depth. But for today, just kind of introduction, stay with me. What made the church so compelling? Five things. First of all, they committed to authentic community. In the Jerusalem church, the people were real with one another. They owned up to their mistakes. They admitted who they were. They took off their mask. They asked for forgiveness, and they were real with each other. Community can be so powerful because God himself, he wired us up to be in relationship with each other. Does that make sense? To be in relationship with him, to be in relationship with other people. That's what makes genuine community special. So how many of you wish just for once in your life that you, if people really knew you, knew all of your dark secrets, if people really knew you, that they would still accept you and love you and encourage you? See, that's what the church is supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. The church is where you can experience relationships the way that they were meant to be. So how did they do that? Again, we'll explore it next week, okay? That's a teaser. You got to come back to find it. You know, next week we'll explore it in depth. But let me just give you the short answer, is that they really, truly devoted themselves to fellowship and to community, okay? More about it next week. Number second thing that made the church so compelling, second purpose, is that they gave God wholehearted worship. Now, we do a great job in our country of celebrating. You think about it, if a team wins a World Series, camera pulling for you, buddy. If a team wins a World Series, if they win a World Series, or they win the NBA championship, or they win the Super Bowl, what do? We celebrate. We have a parade. Yes, have a parade with marching bands and ticker tape and all that. We have a parade. We invite them to the White House. We name streets after them and stuff like that, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we step over that line of celebrating and actually worship these athletes. And see, the Bible says that worship is for who? God and only God. God and only God. And one of the things that made the first church so attractive was the fact that its members all possessed this acute understanding that it was God who had made them. It was God who had given them breath. It was God who had saved them. It's God who provided their daily bread. So they assembled together for worship every day, every week, and they worshiped God. Verse 47, it says that they were praising God. They worshiped God for who he was and what he had done for them. And when God answered their prayers, who do you think they gave credit to? God. They gave him the credit. So if you're taking notes again, the church is where God gets the glory that he deserves, and only he deserves. The third compelling purpose that the very first church committed to was the fact that they took their spiritual growth seriously. I get this from the phrase in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Each time one of their teachers was teaching, they were dialed in to what was going on. They weren't daydreaming. They weren't playing on their phones. They weren't answering emails or updating their Facebook status. They were dialed in to what was going on. And why is that? Why is it? Because in that church, they believed that spiritual, personal spiritual growth was important. Jesus had touched them. Many of these people had walked and talked with Jesus, and he had touched them physically, emotionally, spiritually, and they wanted to become more like Jesus. So when they were being taught, they paid attention because they understood that their role here on earth was to show Christ to others. And it's hard to show Christ to others when you're not looking a lot like Christ. So they took it seriously. They were dialed in. The fourth compelling purpose that the first church pursued that we should strive for is that they invested in positive priorities. They invested their time, their talents, their treasures in what really mattered. In Acts chapter 2, that church, because they had a sense of community and had a sense of gratitude to God and worshiped him and a desire to become more like him, the text says that all the believers had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. There's a certain implication in this verse. The implication is that they had enough control over their own personal finances that they could actually do that. And in America today, I'd say we're hurting in that regard. Most people couldn't do this. But the people in the first church decided that they weren't going to live in a situation where they could not give. So the lesson for us, I think, is good stewardship. Get our finances under control. Live within the means that we have and understand what it means to invest in eternity. The first church got control of their finances so they could give to positive priorities. They lived in the anticipation. Understand, their mindset was they thought Jesus could return at any time, and he could have, just as he could today. And if Jesus is possibly returning at any given time, stuff doesn't matter. Stuff doesn't matter. They understood that. They got that. They knew that their role in life, forget the stuff, their priority was to help others and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They invested in positive and eternal priorities. You say, well, that's a great phrase, but what does it mean? What are positive and eternal priorities? In a word, people. People as a part of the kingdom cause. Things that last longer than a latte and go deeper than a new automobile. Material things aren't bad. Don't get me wrong. It's not one of those kind of sermons. Material things aren't bad. But God says that the things that will last are people and his word. The relationship we have with one another and with God. That's what will last. So whenever possible, invest in these things. That's what they were doing. The church is where our time, talents, and treasure get invested for eternity. Number five, the fifth compelling purpose of the first church is explained really at the very end of the main passage. In verse 47, it says that as a result of all these other things that were going on that we've already talked about briefly, it says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They invited other people to join them. That's what they did. After all, who would not want to be part of something where people were genuine and authentic, where God got the credit, where people were becoming more and more kind and generous and more like God, which, of course, is kind and generous. You see, inviting people to that kind of church was easy because the people loved their church. You say, well, I love my church. I'm glad you do. Follow the example of the early church. Invite people. Some of you have. Hopefully all of you did this week. Hopefully all of you will. See how easy it was this week? I mean, it was just such a joy. I hope you had a joyful experience. Sometimes you get told no. That doesn't remove the joy. It's not about happiness. It's about joy in Jesus Christ, being faithful. I had a young lady in the 9 o'clock service who was a visitor come to me and say, you know, if I'd known that there was a church like this, I'd have been here a long time ago. And I said, well, you're here now, aren't you? She said, yes. I said, you'll be back next week, won't you? She said, yes. I said, you'll invite someone else to come with you next week, won't you? She said, yeah. It was a little bit of hesitation, but yeah was the answer. Yes. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a church like this? Inviting people to that kind of church was easy because people love their church. And church is where people get adopted into God's family. You know, this first church lived in reality that they were entrusted with the message of the gospel, the good news that had the power to change people's hearts and lives. They had the privilege of telling people, God loves you. They had the privilege of telling people that Jesus died for you. And they had the privilege of telling people how they could have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And people have asked me, they say, well, why are y'all participating in the Back to Church Sunday? I said, why not? You know, what's the downside? The reason we participated was because we want our church to look more like this church in Acts chapter 2. Amen? We want our church to look like that. And we're committed to working to become like that. An authentic community of faith that worships God wholeheartedly, is growing spiritually, is investing in positive and eternal priorities, and is inviting our friends, our families, our teachers, as was the case this morning, the community, the whole world, to become part of God's family. So it's a big challenge, but I think it's one worth taking on. Let's give it an easy start here. This is the easy part. How many of you love God? Raise your hand. See how easy that was? All right. How many of you here today would say, I've already accepted God's invitation to be part of his family and I'm a believer? Raise your hand. Good. Now, close your eyes and bow your head. Close your eyes and bow your head. This part's God's business, okay? There will be some of you here today that would say, I'm not really sure I've ever accepted God's invitation to be part of his family. I'm not sure that there's been a moment when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Or maybe you would say, I've drifted from God and I want to come back to him. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but I understand in times like this, your arm may feel like it weighs about 100 pounds. Okay? I get that. But the reason I'm going to ask you to raise your hand is because I'm going to pray for you. And I want to know who I'm praying for. So if you are not a believer yet, if you are not a believer yet, but you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just slip up your hand so I can just see where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Any others? Okay, thank you. For those of you who raised your hand and others maybe that didn't, but if you would like to receive Jesus Christ, I want to ask everyone again with your eyes closed and your head still bowed to pray silently after me, a prayer that I'm going to speak and kind of lead you in this prayer. You can pray, Lord Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life today. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I know that you died for my sins as the perfect Son of God. So I invite you to be mine. I purpose to live for you from today forward. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up. Now the words, as we know, the words are not what's magical. It's the heart behind the words. So if you prayed that prayer, you need to know that God has forgiven your sins. He has given you a way through Jesus Christ in a relationship with Jesus Christ to have eternal life with him. You know, as we think about those, our loved ones that have gone on, it's a joy, isn't it, buddy, to know where mama is. Even after she leaves here, it's a joy to know where our loved ones have gone to. And tomorrow, if you're a new believer, you may wake up and life circumstances may not have changed a whole lot, but boy, your outlook has. Because now you walk by the power of the Spirit. You walk in God's steps. And if you made that decision, I want to give you an opportunity at the conclusion of the service. I've got some materials I'd like to give you to help you in your growth. I really would like to meet with you. If you just don't want to come down in the front when we sing in just a minute, I understand that. I'd love for you to, but if you just don't want to, meet me after the service or give me a call this week because I'd like to get some information to you to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Now for the rest of us, we have a final challenge. And that's, I think, to all of us. I challenge every single one of us to make a commitment that we're going to be here every single Sunday for the next 5 weeks. And you're going, you're killing me here, man. 5 weeks in a row? Yes, 5 weeks in a row. I want you to be here for the next 5 weeks because we're going to experience what we're going to call a 30-day church challenge, where we discover how to fulfill the God-given potential by engaging in these five purposes that we've already talked about. That's our assignment. Over the next 30 days, we're going to be taking these one by one, and I'm going to preach on each one of these purposes, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper. There's also some small groups that will be meeting. There's a sign-up form out in the main vestibule, in the main lobby hallway as you get out of the church that you can sign up to be a part of a small group study. There are several Sunday school classes that are studying this, but if you can't find a time that fits you, let myself or Mary know, and we'll be glad to plug you into a place that works for your schedule. And finally, if you're a guest this morning, I want to encourage you to come back. We have a loving congregation here, and I want you to come back and be a part of this group because it truly is a blessed group. We appreciate you being here, and I want you to close kind of with this whole thought again of vision. Vision. God has cast a vision through the life of His Son. And imagination may rule this world, but I believe that when Jesus imagined His church, He imagined you and I as a part of that. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. And I want us to pray together and thank Him for extending eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we come to your throne, we thank you for the gift of being here today. We thank you for the gift of the fellowship that we've enjoyed. Father, we thank you for the gift of being allowed to worship you, to approach your throne, and to praise you for who you are, and thank you for all that you do. God, we pray as we go from this place that you would allow us to know you in a way that's even more personal. Father, that we would continue to grow in our knowledge of you, and that would be demonstrated for the world to see so that others can truly see Christ in us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you haven't received, if you have received Jesus Christ and would like to talk about it, I'll be here in just a moment. While we're singing, I'd be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here this morning, you say, well, I am a believer, but boy, I've really kind of slid back on this thing. I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you about that. If you're would like to be a part of this congregation, this fellowship, in quote, official membership, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to discuss that with you. But listen to your heart. Listen to what God's telling you this morning and be obedient as we stand and sing together now. Ask to be seated for just a moment, please. Jordan, Rebecca, Ivy, y'all come on up here if you don't mind. My microphone's getting ready to die. It's beeping at me, so I'll just speak louder when it does. These children all came to me after the 9 o'clock service this morning and told me they had all prayed to receive Jesus Christ, and they wanted to go ahead and get baptized. So we are celebrating with them. It's Jordan Essar, Rebecca Essar, and Avi Saba, right? Did I get that right? Okay. And they are coming by profession of faith as candidates for baptism. And if you'll just celebrate, and the words aren't there. You know, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. We understand that. But we want to rejoice with them. So come by at the conclusion of the service, hug them, and let them know how proud you are of them and the decision that they've made. In weeks to come, I know there were others in 9 o'clock that prayed to receive Christ as well as in here. I want to invite you to, as a church family, to continue to pray for those who've made decisions that they will continue to grow in their faith. Will you do that? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together for our benediction. Gracious Father, thank you for this chance to be together. Father, we praise you for who you are. We thank you for all that you've done through us and for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.